All to Thee, my blessed Savior, all to Thee. I surrender all to Thee. If you're here last week, we've started a new series called Surrender. What does it mean to surrender? What does it look like to surrender everything to God? And last week, we started it off just by talking about why. Why do we need to surrender? And if you remember, we talked really about the glory of God. That surrendering to God brings Him glory. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about what? What does this look like for us? What does it mean to surrender all to our Savior? To surrender all of our life to Him? I think we all come into this place with our understanding and definitions of surrender. I want to take a moment just to talk a little bit more about that and maybe clarify some of it a little bit more. We're going to be looking at a passage this morning that's always been very dear to my heart, very important to me, and it's Galatians in chapter 2. So if you would, open up your word to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to be reading verses 19 and 20 this morning. A powerful picture, I believe, of this idea of surrender, what this looks like for you and for me. Again, it's Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. And if you're able, let's stand as we read these two verses together. This is what God's Word says in Galatians chapter 2. It says, For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power that's in Your Word. Father, we thank You for Your Son Jesus and what He has done for us. Holy Spirit, move and work in this place this morning, changing us, transforming us into who You want us to be. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe that if there were, which there is, but if you could put a picture next to the word surrender in the dictionary, I believe it could be a picture of the Apostle Paul. I think if there was ever an epitome of surrender in a person's life, Paul would be it. And really, he's only following the example of his Savior, Jesus. But he lived out a surrendered life. From the moment that God got a hold of his life, changed his life forever, Jesus changed his life, he was on a clear shot towards glorifying God and surrendering to Him and living his life for Him. As we look in Galatians chapter 2, kind of understanding the context of what was happening here and recognizing that Paul is writing these words to the Galatian church. And what's interesting is that he knows exactly what's going on because he's experienced this. And what has happened is that false teachers were kind of creeping into the church, which we read that a lot in the New Testament, very similar to what I believe is happening today in the modern church today, to be honest with you. But there are a lot of false teachers that are creeping into the church then. And what they were doing is really they were cheapening the grace of God is what they were doing. They were kind of changing the gospel, manipulating the gospel. And you had these false teachers that were saying, listen, grace and faith in Jesus is not enough to be right with God. And so they started to try to implement some of the ritualism and different things that they felt needed to happen and say you need to be more like the Jews in different areas so that you can be right with God. Now, obviously for Paul had lived that life of ritualism and different standards that you had to meet in order to be right with God. But now he was free because of the grace of God and his relationship with Jesus. So obviously this caught the attention and the eye of Paul. And here he is explaining what it's all about. He's explaining that Jesus had come and had given them freedom through the blood that was shed upon the cross. And in Him, they are free to live through the grace that they have, that they are made right with God, not because of what they could do and not because of who they were, but because of who Jesus is and what He did for them. Listen, he wanted the church to know. It's not about the law to make you right with God, but it's all about Jesus. And so I want to just share, because when I look at this passage, I just see surrender in this. I see surrender and what this surrender means for us and what it looks like for us. And I really want you to look and pay close attention to verse 20. And if you haven't read verse 20 in a little while, listen, it is a powerful verse to read over and over and over again. And it just simply says this: I have been crucified with Christ. Now understand what he is saying. The very simple terms is this: that the sin that's in our life nailed upon the cross. It was crucified with him when we accept him into our life. Listen, our sin was taken upon his shoulders and we are forgiven. We are crucified with Christ. The old life is dead and we are living a new life in him. A life that is forgiven and a life is free. Listen, that is the picture of what we read. I have been crucified with Christ. But then he says this: it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, if you were to ever have a mantra, I don't know, I think that's the word, maybe a motto that you could live by or have. I know some of you are thinking Lion King right now. I don't know what's the motto with you, but this idea of a life theme verse or something of that nature, listen, this would be a good one. This would be a powerful verse to cling on to and hold on to at all times in your life. Write this on your mirror in the bathroom so you can be reminded. Take this with you in your backpack when you go to school. Have it with your lunch when you're eating lunch at work. Listen, this is an incredible passage, and I believe it has all to do with surrendering our life to Jesus. It says, it is no longer I who live. Again, the old self has been crucified. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Listen, you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you give your life to Jesus, the forgiveness of sin, the life that you have in him, listen, it is no longer yours, but it's his. And the life that we live is not our life. It is the life of Jesus. It is no longer I that live, but him. What a powerful reminder today. I like to say this because I think it's so important. Can you imagine every single morning we wake up and that is what we say to the Lord? Jesus, is not I, but you in my life. It's not me, but you. You're going to live today through me. It's not my life, but your life. If you want to know what surrender is, it's when you get to the point in your life where you say, Jesus, it's no longer me, but it is you. Every aspect of my life, my past, my present, my future, my family, my school, my job. Listen, it is not I, but you, Jesus, when I'm walking down the hallways of school. It's not I, but you, Jesus, when I'm sitting at my desk or I'm in the work area of my job. It's not I, but you, Jesus, when I'm in the grocery store walking around. It's not I, but you, Jesus, when I'm sitting in hour-long traffic on the highway. Listen, it's not I, but Jesus. If you want to know what surrender looks like, it's the yielding of your life. It's giving over the direction and every part of your life to Jesus and saying, Jesus, not me, but you. What a great, powerful picture that Paul lays out before us. So I want to just take a few moments and talk just a couple of things about surrender as we kind of leap off of this verse and as we talk about the what of surrender. And the first thing is just simply this. I want you to hear this morning that surrender is a choice. I love this. Now, I look at Paul's life and I realize that his conversion experience was pretty amazing and powerful. But for us as believers today, to surrender to Him is a choice. And what I mean by that is this, that we accept Him into our life. And listen, that grace, that new life we have in Him is free, and it's amazing and it's powerful. But the problem that we see in Christianity all over the world today are that believers say that prayer and they say, Jesus, forgive me. Then they walk away from making Him Lord of their life, that there's no surrender in their life. What we find, we see believers all over the world and in churches all over the world that lack power. Listen, it's not because they don't have the gifts or they're not talented enough. There's no power because they haven't given Jesus lordship of their life, control of their life. When we surrender to Him, when we make the decision not just to give Him our life, but to surrender our life to Him, what we find is power and joy and peace in our life. You see, it's a choice that we make. Now, some of you, and many, maybe you're watching online and you made that decision to give your life to Jesus. And praise God for that. I'm thankful for the salvation that we have in Jesus. But my question is, what now? What have you done with the grace and the power that Jesus offers to us daily? Have you made that choice to surrender and to follow after Him with everything that you have? Here's what Romans tells us, and I love this passage. If you can, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. It says this. As you're turning to there, it says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Now I want you to underline, circle. Yours may say something a little different, but right in the middle of that verse, but present yourselves to God. Circle it, underline it. Listen, here's when I read that, what I believe with all my heart is saying this. When you present something to someone, you're making an effort. You're taking a step of faith. You are giving something. So when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, listen, it doesn't just stop. Then you present yourself to God. You take the step of faith and present yourself before God and say, God, today I am giving you everything. You know, when you make a presentation, you're putting forth your very best. When you present yourself to God, you're giving Him every bit of yourself, presenting it to God, saying, God, I am yours. Use me and work through me however you see fit. You see, that's a choice that we make. You know, when you look in history, this idea of choosing this surrender, we see that in wars and battles throughout our history. And, you know, there's one in particular that we're very fond of, and that's the Alamo. It is the greatest ever. And, you know, remember the Alamo. There you go, Connie, that's right. Whoop, whoop. Anyway, so the Alamo is very interesting. You think about how they surrendered. They left it all there. They just gave it all up, and pretty much they all perished. But then you look at other battles, and people surrender, and they have different stipulations that come with that, and they work out an agreement, and they walk out of a battle in peace, and they survive. So we see these different, because let's face it, surrender is this kind of military term. So you see different aspects of surrender and how people choose to handle that. You know, U.S. Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, he was known as unconditional surrender Grant. That's what I was told this morning, because he never had any other options when he was doing battle. It was unconditional surrender. And so when I think about surrender, I just want to share a few things as we think about this choice that we have to make in surrendering our life. Because I think there are different kinds of surrender that we are a part of. And listen, this is not just me preaching. This is me having experienced this in my life. And so one is this, I think, a kind of surrender that we we have in our lives and that we see is just a conditional surrender. A conditional surrender. And maybe you've seen the conditional surrender and maybe you've experienced that in your life. That looks like this, that we're willing to surrender, but there's a certain few things that we need to work out first. So in our spiritual life, it would be this. God, I surrender to you, but listen, I want these parameters set in place. You know, I want to surrender my future to you, but listen, I do want this kind of job. I want to surrender my family to you, but listen, I want, you know, three kids and I want a car and I want this house. Listen, we have these conditions that kind of come up and we say, this is our surrender. Can I just say, there's no power in a conditional surrender with Jesus. But yet we see that over and over and over again, a conditional surrender with our lives. It's safe. It's predictable. It's controlled. Man, we love to control things, don't we? That's a conditional surrender. There's another one that I think we experience a lot too. It's a circumstantial surrender. A circumstantial surrender. And really, that's waiting for the right time to surrender. Have you ever experienced that in your life? I have. I'm going to be willing to surrender to God, but it has to be the right time. Circumstances have to be just right for me to be able to do that. You know when I see this most? We see this in our finances. We see this in our service. Listen, this is it. Like when we're serving the Lord, our time, it would be something like this. God, as soon as I get enough money in my bank account, then I will give. God, as soon as I pay off my debt, then I will give. Then we look at our time and say, God, as soon as my kids are out of the house, then I'm going to serve at the church or I'm going to serve you. God, as soon as I get some training here, then I'm going to serve. I just have to have a little bit more time. Maybe my job, when it gives me a little bit more time, then I'm going to serve you. Listen, that is circumstantial surrender. When the time is right, then we will surrender. Can I just say this again? There's no power. There's no joy. There's no peace in circumstantial surrender. But we experience that many times in our life, a circumstantial kind of surrender. I kind of look at it too, kind of like a roller coaster kind of surrender. I love roller coasters, and maybe you guys do too, but I remember, and I've said this story before, and I'm going to say it again. I'm getting older. I'm just going to say the same stories over and over again. But I remember, Paxton wanted to ride Superman, and that was at Six Flags here in Georgia, and that's a big roller coaster. You know, this is his first really big roller coaster. I'm going to embarrass him. So he was young. It was a couple months ago. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. No, he was little. But he was really little. So he said, hey, I want to ride Superman. I said, all right, so let's go ride Superman. We go wait in line. No joke. Hours waiting in line. I mean, and if you've been to Six Flags in the summer, it's not fun, right? So hours waiting in line. We get closer and closer, and then we get almost to the thing, and he's like, no, I don't want to do it. You know, that kind of thing. And we're like, we change. We're like, ride the ride. You know, it's like, we're totally different. And we're dragging him up the steps, like, you're going to ride, kid. You know, we put him on the seat. The poor little girl that was running the ride, high schooler, you know, always a little high schooler. They're always high schoolers that are running, which is scary in and of itself. But this high school girl, I felt really bad for her. She was like, she didn't know what to do. She was like, do I call DFACS? I mean, she really didn't know. And so we put him on there, and he's upset. And so she looks at him, she goes, is he okay? And Amy goes, he's fine. I mean, it was just like, it was like a whole different world. It was scary. But we put him on there and we take off, and it was rough that first little when you take off, but halfway through he was like, yeah, it was the best thing ever. And he rides all the rides. So it really is no big deal. Listen, that's kind of how our surrender is. We like to get on the ride sometimes, but we say, okay, this is a good, easy, flat ride. I'll surrender to you, God. Don't we like to do that sometimes? Listen, a surrender that God is asking for is one that you make before you get on the ride. Listen, that's when you say, God, I'm yours. No matter what's going to happen, no matter what's ahead, I'm yours and I'm in it for the ride. God, I'm surrendering it all to you. Listen, stay away from circumstantial surrender. There's no power in circumstantial surrender. Another one that's very close is selective surrender. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This is one I deal with all the time. So selective surrender. You know, last week we talked about surrender, and you know, even the picture that's up on the screen has a hand up in space. And so a selective surrender, we talked about hands lifted high. And you remember what we talked about, that it's not just your hands lifted high, praising Him, surrendering Him to Him, but it's hands open, right? So hands open, saying, whatever you want from me, whatever I can do, listen, I'm all yours. So we talked about selective surrender. I equate it to this. One hand open and one hand closed. Boy, that is comfortable, huh? And I'm just going to be authentic with you and just say, I deal with this. It's so much easier, and I feel like I'm in way more control if I can just do selective surrender and say, God, I'm giving you this, but maybe not this. I'm going to hold on to this. But it's not even just our present day. It's not just our future. Listen, I'm all about saying, God, my future is yours. Can I just tell you where the hardest part is? Is that guilt and the shame from sin in the past, many times that's what we hold on to. So we surrender all the stuff that's happening today, but we hold on to little pieces of sin or addiction in our life, and we keep it close to our heart and say, God, you can have this, but you can't have this. Listen, that's selective surrender. And maybe today that's what you struggle with. Listen, I think we all struggle with that a little bit. Can I just encourage you? Surrender. Selective surrendering, there's no power, there's no joy, and there's no peace. Give it up to Him. All of it. Don't hide a piece of that in your heart. Don't close the door and compartmentalize your devotion and allegiance to God. Listen, open up your hands and give Him all. And that's the last one. This is the one that we want to be at, this unconditional surrender. And the reason we want to be at this unconditional surrender part in our life is because that's exactly where Jesus is. That's where He was when He went to the cross. An unconditional surrender. Think about Jesus dying on the cross, being the ultimate sacrifice. Listen, He was surrendered to His Father. And we're called to have this unconditional surrender in our life, which means, listen, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I'm going to trust God with my time, with my finances, with my relationships, with my family, with my job. I'm going to trust Him unconditionally. I'm not going to write up any papers that say, God, A, B, and C need to be fulfilled before I do. Listen, it is an unconditional surrender. Whatever God wants to do with my life, that is surrender. I love what Billy Graham says. He said this. He said, if you want a change in your life, if you want forgiveness and peace and joy that you've never known before, God demands total surrender. He becomes the Lord and the ruler of your life. You're surrendering all the time. When I fly in an airplane and I sit down in the seat, I'm surrendering to that plane. Nothing I can do about it. I've been operated on several times, and I didn't negotiate with the doctors, took the knives out and put the anesthetic in. I put my full trust in those doctors that they were going to do the right thing. Can I just say, we do this. Listen, that's how we live our life. We put surrender in the hands of so many other people, so many other things, yet when it comes to God, we're scared. We're afraid. And this is where the second point comes in. Listen, it's a choice. But listen, surrender is a challenge. I would never stand up here and tell you that surrender is easy. Surrender is hard. Every day, surrendering your life, your time, your family to God is so hard. And why is that? I believe it's because we're deceived. You know, Scripture talks about the heart being deceptive. So we read in Jeremiah. But listen, but even in the world, it talks about the world being deceptive. I mean, let's face it. What is Satan's greatest tactic? To deceive. And so you and I, we have been deceived. Let me tell you what that means. We've been deceived to think this, that what the world has to offer, what I can do and what I can control is far better than what God can give me. And we've been deceived to think this, if I'm going to release everything to God, if I'm going to give Him everything, then I will get nothing in return and it won't even compare to this world. Can I tell you, we have been deceived. You see, we've been deceived to think that we know better. We've been deceived to, pick our own selves up by the bootstraps. We've been deceived to say that what we have in this world is far greater than anything we could ever imagine. Listen, we've been deceived to think that this is it. But can I tell you, there's nothing farther from the truth. Matter of fact, I love this parable in Matthew, and I was going to share that with you guys. Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." I love that. Listen, the truth is this. And whenever we are feeling deceived by the world, we always go back to the promises of God. We always go back to the truth. And the truth is this, no matter what you give up, no matter what you release to God, what you're going to get back is far greater. The truth is this, that we can surrender it all to Him and say, God, I'm giving You control of my family. I'm giving You control of my finances. I'm giving You control of this church. I'm giving You control of all things. But listen, what God has for you is far greater than you could ever imagine. With joy, He sold everything to go buy that field. Listen, why? Because Jesus is worth it. So we surrender it all, and we don't just surrender it all for nothing. What we have in Jesus is greater. That joy and that peace that we experience in Him is not matched by anything this world has to offer. Matthew 6, 33. "Seek God first in His righteousness, and He'll give you the desires of your heart." Psalm 37, "Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Jeremiah 17 says this, that "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and their confidence." Listen, when we surrender all, what we have in return is Jesus. And nothing, no one compares to our Jesus. I was thinking about this, and in your notes, I was thinking through this. Listen, I think one of the issues is that we approach surrender in a different way. I think we do approach it just from a physical standpoint, what we can see and what we do. And listen, if that's how we're approaching it, then we're in for a rough ride. Because listen, this is a spiritual struggle. Surrender is a spiritual struggle. But there is a supernatural solution. You know, there's many things in our world that is a struggle. But for surrendering, listen, this is a spiritual struggle with a supernatural solution. So I want you to hear today, as we talk about this what of surrender, this unconditional surrender, and how scary that seems, can I just tell you, you can't do that on your own. I just want you to hear that, because listen, nobody in here is perfect, and there are going to be days that are hard and rough. Every single day is another day to come before the Lord. But listen, this is not something that you do on your own, but through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, this spiritual struggle that we have of surrender in a daily walk with the Lord, really, it only occurs to solve this issue and this problem, to fully surrender in Him, by the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in your life. And so I just want to ask you this question. Do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? Do you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you struggling every day to make it happen? Listen, allow the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to empower you to live a surrendered life. If all you're doing is living out a physical life every day and not focusing in on the spiritual, you're going to be disappointed every day. Let the Holy Spirit empower you to surrender it all. Let Him give you the strength to live free Let Him give you all that you need to surrender. Unconditional surrender. I would like to say that we have options as a believer. That if you're a Christian, it's okay to have that conditional surrender. It's okay to have that selective surrender. But I don't know anywhere in Scripture does it talk about a believer, talk about a follower of Christ. Nowhere does it say you can have Jesus and you can have the world. It talks about having Jesus. And now, don't get me wrong. God's going to bless your life. He's going to work. Now, it's spiritual blessings. There could be physical blessings. Listen, God can do all things. But that starts when we surrender to Him. Seek Him first. And He's going to work and move in your life. Have you surrendered to Him?